Welcome to Mind Styling, the podcast that explores how we can win at the game inside our heads and make a mark on this world in our own unique style, on our own terms.
We interview entrepreneurs and leaders who aren't afraid to push the boundaries and set their own definitions of success. We will share with you the tips and techniques they use to style their mind and give you the tools you need to start mind styling for yourself.
Hello, lovely mind stylists. I'm Amy Armstrong.
And I'm Dr. Peggy Sage.
And today we're really looking forward to talking about Mel Rodriguez's top tip, stay laser focused, which of course leads us to the next question, how to stay laser focused. Now, Becky, we've been reflecting on this. Why don't you give us a little intro to how your mind is thinking on this?
So when Mel was speaking about this, she was talking about it from the medium to long-term view in your business, about saying, right, this is what the business is doing. This is the model we're focusing on. Therefore, these are the activities we have to focus on over a period of time. And that's something that I've craved in business, you know, really being, it's when you, so my experience in business is having a technology push business. So kind of that technology was there and we knew where it could be applied, but there were many places it could be applied. And that was pretty tough because you're also being pulled in many directions. So kind of achieving that, the focus in terms of this is where the business is going to go before you've really got the information is actually not very helpful. So you have to kind of get to the right point in order to be able to focus. The other, just as, you know, before we maybe delve in a bit deeper, the other thing I was thinking about though is getting laser focused in the moment. And I was reflecting with you that I think I have a skill around being laser focused in the moment and being able to really, you know, I think this was honed into me since school, since like being a child, sit down, get your homework done. That was always something that came relatively naturally to me. And I suppose if it comes easily, you just train that over and over and over again. Okay. In these kind of micro activities, being focused, getting on with the work, not getting too distracted does come relatively easy to me. Although there are things I put in place to make that easier. So I think from a listener's perspective, there's probably both those things, but in both contexts, the beauty of it is when you have that laser focus, you have intensity and you can move, you can burst through things very quickly with a lot of energy because you're all your energy is going to that one point, literally like a laser. My PhD was in laser spectroscopy, and I know you focus in right on a point, and that has so much power to it, and you can do a lot with that. So it's that's, I can really see the value of achieving laser focus, both in the micro and the macro, but also recognize that it's not always easy to find, and maybe it's not always appropriate. And I think, again, to my point of, I used to beat myself up a lot for not finding that point of focus, when actually the thing I probably needed to do at that time was gather more information. And that was what the lack of laser focus was saying, was hang on, you haven't kind of set your stool in the right way yet. And maybe you haven't got all the information that you need to get. And that's a mixture of both kind of research, I guess, market research and your customers and looking deeper into where you are with your product and everything else, but also recognizing that when you've got a team, without even realizing it, you may be pulling in different directions, and that is going to be something that's going to pull focus and maybe make it really hard to get that focus.
So many topics to cover there. We're going to look at the macro. We will share some micro solutions as well, because I know just the consistent call from so many of my clients is I'm overwhelmed. I don't know which way to go. I'm procrastinating. But let's just take a step back. As you say, entrepreneurs are explorers. They're pioneers. They're people who are called to discover new lands. And so regularly we have magpie syndrome, lots of bright, shiny things, and all there's that over there, and all there's that over here. you were reflecting on that sometimes that's the right place to be. And actually your focus can be on divergent thinking, looking in all directions, really spending time exploring and getting needling away at a problem and just really understanding all the possible solutions before then you converge on your focus. And I think it's really interesting, though, when you have set out your stall and you've said, okay, so this is what we're going to focus on. I once had a coach who said, my rule of thumb is you stick with an idea for 1 year. Now, that was an interesting one, because of course that won't be relevant to every single business at all. And we all know the lean startup, you know, pivoting is essential. Intelligent pivoting is really important at times if the data is telling you. However, I think the idea of committing to something for a certain period of time is really important. Mm. And when you have a team in place, them understanding their role in this focus and your goal for whatever it is it a launch? Is it an event? Is it getting your product to MVP stage? Is it a particular pitch? It's thinking about where you are in your business life cycle and giving yourself a very clear direction so that everyone understands their role. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I that was something that I really worked through and is tough in and actually we say entrepreneurs, but I think there's you know, as with everything, an entrepreneur doesn't look like just one thing, and I think there's something about innovators.
Yes.
So actually some entrepreneurs find it relatively easy to focus on either the purpose, as so many of our guests have, it's bubbled up for years and years and years, and they're like, no, this is the thing. It's this impact I want to make, and that's what I'm focusing on, and or the money. And if those two things are in the same place, then that's awesome. That does give you like this wonderful focus. When you're thinking a bit more disruptively and in more of an innovative space, then you may have, I mean, the money and the, well, and in an impact space, you know, the money and the impact can be in totally different directions, and that can really pull focus. And that's certainly a challenge that I've consistently kind of been going backwards and forwards with. Some of that is an issue to do with the structures that we're existing within, you know, the cultures of funding and the way that works, and just the way businesses are set up and where the money is and where people want to put it, which isn't always in the places of biggest impact. But that is changing, especially if you focus on saying, okay, well, we need an impact investor, for example, then that can be your area of focus. But I find it very hard in that lean when applying that lean methodology with a team, some of which are comfortable with the methodology and with the idea that learning is success, but also that is only within the context of whether you can fund that learning. Because of course, people don't keep their jobs if you can't get your funding. But some people are incredibly uncomfortable with it because we're not taught that way. And funnily enough, I've just been talking to an amazing kind of new schools initiative up in Scotland, which is really going to be teaching the way we do things like lean and a new style. Well, I say new, it's not that new, but styles of development that are about creating things that are effective, not just like what's the fastest, most efficient kind of bullheaded way. You know, I say bullheaded, but that's also focus, right? So so there's this real tension here, and I think for leaders on your teams, I think you've really got to do like a litmus test of actually what your team understands and has already been educated in. And if they're not currently educated in lean methodologies, for example, I mean, I'm just using this as an example, but then making sure you set aside the time to really get that mindset embedded in what they do is important, because then at least your team is coming with you on that journey. And you can, and as a team, again, focus, so important, because if you're pulling in opposite directions, well, you don't go anywhere, do you? And it creates something quite difficult. I mean, you might get some creative sparks, and so have some space for that. But you do need to make sure you've got that clarity for your team to be able to help them kind of swim along with you.
And for those listeners who haven't explored this area, a good place to start would be Eric Ries's The Lean Startup book. Any other books you'd recommend for that?
I really like The Startup Owner's Manual. I like it better than Lean Startup, actually. So, and the thing with that is getting out of the building. So the way that sets things up is, and this is, you know, this is kind of when you're at your ideas stage, and then you're shifting into what's the right business. Well, where do I want to focus? What's the right problem space? What's the right solution space? And it kind of goes through every step. But again, it's all about fast testing, learning, fail fast. What I really like about it is what it says is you start with a hypothesis. And that, again, the hypothesis could be the problem that my customers have is that, I don't know, I've got my cat sitting in the corner, that their cats can't eat certain food because of the shape of their mouth. Right. I'm going to make cat food that's a different shape or whatever. That's my problem space. I've got to go with that. Sorry, I've jumped on too fast. I did what many of us do, jump straight into the solution space. So you have that hypothesis and then you get out there and you test that hypothesis and you say, is this actually a problem? And then once you've kind of validated that, then you get on to, okay, let's test the next thing. And like you said, what's difficult about that is that the what isn't necessarily clearly defined yet, because you haven't tested it. You don't know what you're going to be creating. You don't know what the right business model is. But you have this methodology that you're working through, and that's what the focus is. The focus is the learning. The focus is the connecting with the audience and finding the information and getting closer to knowing exactly what that, you know, what the business model, what the product, what the market, what all of those things are going to be, where your initiative, whatever it is you're building, is going to sing at its best. Sorry that you asked me for a book recommendation and I just gave you all of that. I'm clearly not in a very focused.
No, but I think it's fantastic. And it is focused, because actually what it tells us is you are then focused on whatever stage you are in that journey. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like us to just pause now and take a step back and assume that actually the solution has been found, the goals and objectives of the business are set out, and you've got alignment at your across the team, so people understand that. What a wonderful place to be.
I know.
And yet you or members of your team are one of those people who is constantly coming up with new ideas, new ways of doing things, new things you could do better, new technology you could explore. And you can feel a little bit sort of overstretched by the multiplicity of ideas that are coming up. And I wanted to just talk to what you can do to manage that, so you can manage your time and your energy as efficiently as possible. And I say that because we know that if we go off at a tangent in a meeting, we might never come back to fulfilling the objectives of that meeting. And Becky and you and I have to work on this, don't we? So and that's okay, we manage it. But there's one study that shows that when you get distracted by something, it takes you 27 minutes on average to return to the thing you were originally focusing on. So I really and used this for decades in my career, where, because I'm a natural solution focused seeker of better ways, my brain is always off down the path at 100 miles an hour. So I learned to create an ideas list. And it was something that we would have a bank of ideas. And so in the course of a meeting, the habit became, if an idea came up that we might want to explore later that sounded valid, we would put it on the ideas list. Now, we wouldn't necessarily evaluate it for all of the credibility at that moment in time, but it would serve to give our brain the the assurance that we were being heard, we were being listened to, and we'd stick it on that ideas list. Now, that ideas list would then be revisited because, and it depends on your business cycle. And mm-hmm. you know, for a massive conglomeration, they're not going to look at new ways of working and new product lines more than, gosh, you know, quarterly, if that.
But yeah, a couple of years. And
Exactly. But for a new startup, and particularly in the early days when you're still refining, it might be that you want to revisit that every 6 to 8 weeks. But you're not doing it every week, and you're not allowing your team meeting that needs to nail the problem of that week or that day to be railroaded into thinking about something else or distracted. So you have that, and you set up a regular meeting where you then, before that meeting, you evaluate that ideas list and you look for the highest impact, most relevant ideas for the moment. And you get a strategy around how to do that divergent and then convergent thing.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because if anyone was looking at my Instagram earlier this week, then you'll have seen that I had a meeting, had a face-to-face meeting, and literally had an ideas bucket on the wall. And it's interesting actually, because I don't, you preempted this with, if the business is, you know, it's, you've got the product, you know, it's a good fit, et cetera, et cetera. It's one of the things I don't have a challenge with, because I don't, I think sometimes overemphasize the importance of the idea as well. And I think sometimes we talked about this with Katie and Alison on A&K's Playground, and it doesn't really matter if some of those ideas float off, and
the right ones all stay. Keep coming back. Keep getting on that list.
I actually use the ideas bucket for social media and things like that, where it's just like, oh, I'm walking along and I'm like, oh, hang on a second, that could be a cool post, or that could be,
I've got folders of various different themes where, oh, ideas generation. Yeah. Mm.
But I think the interesting thing you said as well is about us as a team and the mind styling team. And we aren't at that stage yet of what is the business we're building. And I think that sometimes we don't jump into focus because we're afraid that we're not going to make the right decision. And I think that, so we are very focused in terms of, okay, well, we've got a podcast to record and get it out. And we talk to our, you know, this particular part of what we do, we're very focused on, and we get that going. But where our challenge is, I think, is that we've kind of got all these ideas as to where we could go next, but also recognizing that mind styling is a side hustle. It started as a side hustle, and, you know, we've both got other things going on. And so that in itself then kind of means, okay, well, if we were to focus, we'd, you know, that's a commitment. Are we ready to make that commitment? So there's also that kind of barrier, I think, that stands in the way of focus. So then we have meetings and we talk a lot about different ideas, but we don't always like knuckle down and go, right, let's really go for this then. So I think that that's probably something that other people can also recognize, especially if they're, you know, in more of that side hustle stage.
Yes. And it's exploring the parameters within which you're working. And actually, I decided to walk my talk. So one of my exercises in preparation for today was I thought, well, how would I use these various laser focus principles to help identify the question we were talking about for Heidi's top tip, which was how to engage our listeners better. And actually, I really like a prioritization tool that I've developed, which is actually asking the question and then evaluating the ideas against, actually, are they high impact or low impact? Are they hard or easy? Now, if they're low impact, frankly, they get kicked to the side curb. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not relevant.
Yeah.
If they're high impact, then I like to grade them 0 to 10. 0 is incredibly hard. 10 is incredibly easy. And I wrote a list off the top of my head of 10 ideas for how to engage our learners better, and then made sure they were all high impact, and then graded them 0 to 10. And I've got a whole series from 5 to 10, but I've got 2 10 out of 10s.
Ooh.
They're easy to do and they're high impact. Well, that's a no-brainer. And that works for the side hustle concept.
Absolutely. Oh,
well, What are they?
Yeah, are we going to tell the listeners or are we going to have a, is it a surprise?
Oh, no, well, it's so easy. We're already doing it, basically. So add to what we're doing already. I mean, this is what we're doing every day. So we talk to our listeners, engage with potential listeners in our talks, in our teaching, in our coaching.
Yeah.
So that, it's a no-brainer. We're already doing it.
We also, and as you said, kind of with the impact score, we already know that makes a difference. We already know when we do go out and talk and we share mindstanding with people, then suddenly we get more engagement and more listeners.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's the same as if you're having a conversation and someone brings up the podcast and they're listening to it, then you talk to them about it and you listen to them and you engage, literally. So it's a 10 out of 10. And then another 10 out of 10 was if we were to do a course, and we're thinking about that hard, building community into the fabric of it. And actually, we do that in our current teaching and inspiring anyway. It's part of our teaching philosophy for both of us.
Yeah.
So that's a 10 out of 10 as well. It's a no-brainer. And then it carries on. All sorts of things like collaborations. You mentioned the schools. We're teaching at an accelerator in a couple of weeks' time. we've had an invitation only in the last 24 hours to partner with another, do a collaboration. Now, I think that's a little harder than the other things that are already in the diary, but, not impossible and quite exciting. All sorts of things on that list. But it's so interesting if you just then sit there and go, okay, so if it's high impact, how high impact? If it's easy to do, how easy is it to do? And then it naturally, the high impact, easy tasks come to the top of the list. And you can do that with anything. It doesn't have to be big business challenges. It can be just looking at your to-do list and going, oh, God.
Yeah. I really like that. Lovely little framework for everyone to take away. We'll share that on the socials as well so that people can kind of see and, write a little grid for people.
I was thinking, actually, when we were talking to Kerry, she has this herself in a little way because she gets asked to do loads of podcasts and she's got masses of energy but increasingly less time, especially when she's at launch. And we got to talk to her in launch week, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And she said it's because we met the three strike rule. She has a three strike rule for which podcasts to do, which events to do. Hers were, do they enhance the brand? Do they enhance me? Will it inspire?
And I think what you did, which is actually grading that, I think is actually quite useful. Because honestly, I could say yes. If anyone asked me to do a talk, anyone ever, does it enhance me? I'm like, yep. what? Some people are going to listen to me. So it's then that idea of gradation along that scale as well. Like, how much is it going to, like you did, the 10 out of 10s or graduating down. So I think that's really, really useful to take with you as well, because you do, I think for a lot of people will also experience, you have got all these things on your plate, all these things you're getting asked to do, and how are you going, you are only a finite being, so you got to find ways of really prioritizing. So great.
There's a good book called Essentialism by Greg McGowan, and he also has a really interesting, there's a nice interview of him by Tim Ferriss on Tim Ferriss's podcast. And I like essentialism. The principle is you decide what matters most and then say no to everything else.
Yeah. And it's the laser focus that Mel was talking about, right?
Exactly. And the more clear it is on what you're aiming to do, the more clear it is what you shouldn't be spending your time doing.
We should just quickly mention that Kerry is next week's guest. Her interview won't have come out yet. So that was a little teaser.
It's a little teaser. She's rather amazing.
Yeah, go listen. Cool. Well, so with all that in mind, do you get in touch with us? Let us know in terms of laser focus, what works for you, what doesn't work for you? Do you find it more challenging to get that kind of in the moment focus and you get distracted from the tasks that can need to be done or that you've decided to prioritize? Or do you find it harder to kind of get that focus when you're focusing on who your customers might be or what your product might be or, you know, that bigger picture, which is what Mel was really talking about and who... Well, you know, she said she started to find it. It's not always easy. So let us know. And we would, really love to talk to you about what works and what doesn't work for you. You can find us at Mind Styling Podcast on Facebook and Instagram or at Mind Styling Pod on Twitter. And you can sign up for our newsletter, link in the show notes as well. So we look forward to hearing from you and hope you have a lovely rest of the day.
Enjoy your laser focus. Take care.
Bye.
Bye for now. So we can't always control the situations that are going on outside of us, but we can be in control of how we react to those situations.
And that is what mind styling is all about.